This is Tennessee Titans talk.
Mock draft!
Boom! Here we are, baby.
48 hours away from the best night in all of sports.
Well, guys, we do this every year. We do a mock draft. We're going to let it rip. I know that we have been as successful as the people that think they know what they're doing as far as national pundits, and I know we think as successful as a lot of the teams over the years. We love doing this at an amateur level, but man, it's just so fun. There's a lot of tape out there. There's a lot of resources now. Fans can get to know these players in regards to whether they went to school or how long they played. We're interested in what the Titans are going to do in all rounds, but we have to go through the whole league. It helps us to see like who might be available for the Titans. Big Fella's got the first pick, Landon has the second pick, I'll have the third pick, and we'll go from there. Predominantly want to see what the Titans are going to have available to them, but it's just kind of fun to see how this might all fall. Probably going to get most of these right, but at least see, all we ever hear about is the quarterback and the guys that we think we might take. Just learn about more prospects and that. All right, let's go. First pick.
With the first pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers, in a trade acquiring the pick from the Chicago Bears, are now on the clock.
Dun dun dun
dun dun dun.
Boom, boom. Doo, doo.
And you'll find out the pick in 10 minutes, including commercials.
Yeah, right. We're going to take a quick minute to listen to our lovely sponsors. I think this is the most obvious pick, probably, that we're going to see in all 3 days. The Panthers have landed on their guy, and the Panthers are going to select Bryce Young, quarterback, Alabama. I just think the talent and the upside for a team that's been, you know, void of a quarterback for a very long time since Cam Newton, it's too obvious to pass up. So they take their guy here. They traded up from 9 to get here. They knew exactly who they wanted, and this is where they get him. And that's what you want in a draft. You want it to be exciting. You want teams to move to the top for a guy that's a consensus number one overall. And that's what we're going to get here.
Yeah, I think time will tell, depending on how good he is, why the other teams weren't aggressive. Because the team got to go from 9 to 1. I think it could be, in the future, an indictment on the Texans and Colts. Or this guy could be too small to have a long career in the NFL, and the Panthers are just chasing their tail over
could
again.
Be.
It's going to be really interesting to see, but I agree with you. I think the hay's in the barn on this one. All right, Texans are at 2.
With the insane amount of buzz about how they don't love any of the quarterbacks particularly well, and just all this buzz going around, it's either they trade out and someone picks a quarterback, but I think end of the day, they stick here. They take the best player in the draft. They take a guy, D'Amico Ryans, will build his defense around. Will Anderson Jr., edge rusher from Alabama. If you had asked us a month ago, this would be an incredible shock that they don't go quarterback. But now, I'm starting to fall in line with their thinking, because Richardson and Levis at 2, no. And if you have your concerns about Stroud, which I can understand why they would have them, then yeah, if you don't, maybe you don't take a quarterback. It's crazy to think about, but Bryce Young is clearly the best, and you didn't get him because you choked at choking. So Houston still gets the best player in the draft, but quarterback is still a giant zero right now.
Lynn, any consideration for Tyree Wilson? I've seen him named in a lot of mock drafts. Kind of tell us why they probably won't go there.
If they stay at 2, they won't go with Wilson because Anderson is the better prospect. People say, well, Tyree Wilson has a higher ceiling. He has the better physical traits, and at the absolute maximum, yeah, but at the same time, he's older, he's been more injured, he's not as productive, he's not as explosive. I mean, Will Anderson, he's not the freakiest of the freaks, but he's super productive. He hits your athleticism benchmarks, and he's going to be good. Now, if Houston traded down for a team that wanted to pick a quarterback at 2, they would definitely, like, if Indy trade up for 2 and they somehow did an interdivision trade, then yeah, Houston would definitely be happy with Tyree Wilson because Anderson's probably off the board. But it's just hard to see a world where Will Anderson is not the first player at his position.
So for me, Arizona, this is really tough. We just assume, I think, someone's going to trade up for Stroud, but they're hoping so. We have talked, even before the national media started discussing how, you know, I think this is the worst roster in the NFL. They just because Steve Keim kind of sucked years before they fired him. The cupboard is very bare. Everybody always says, oh, trade back, get a bunch of picks. They really need to do that. The question is, sometimes you see there are no takers. We'll find out if there's a team that likes Stroud because they're just going to hand them to the Colts. Otherwise, I tend to think Arizona, because they need so many things, they might lower their asking price. I think somebody trades up and pick Stroud. So I'm going to go based on not the team, but the pick. So I'm going to take Stroud for team to be named later. All right, Big Fella, that's you. picking for the hold your breath Colts.
Oh, I don't know if I can do it here. I mean, just because of the nature of that damn team, I want to sabotage them so bad and have them take a punter at number 4 overall. They need a quarterback, they need a cornerback, and they probably need some O-line help. I would guess maybe a tackle. 4 for a tackle, especially in this draft, is a little rich.
But you think they're not going to take a quarterback? They're going to take a quarterback.
Yeah, they're taking a quarterback.
I mean, they're taking a quarterback, dum-dum.
Yeah, stop waffling.
No,
come on now.
No, but I would agree. But do we think that they're going to take Richardson here? Do they like Levis enough to take him at 4?
Yeah, they've been linked to really like Levis. And they would take a guy here because if you don't take him here, either you're holding out hope for Hooker or you're rolling with Gardner Minshew going into the season. So yeah, big fella, stop waffling. It's a quarterback. You got 2 of them.
Take a non-quarterback for Thursday night, I'm looking at both of you and saying they're getting Lamar next week.
It could happen.
It's like they're getting Lamar.
It could very well happen. And, you know, then like we've talked about in our chats, like if Lamar doesn't get traded by draft night, then we're looking at 24 and 25 compensation and they might be all into that.
Oh, they're dumb enough to think, oh, we'll be awesome next year. And yeah, or but I don't blame them. They are the perfect team that would wait till after because they don't want to give them the 4th pick in the draft. They want to give them whatever's going to be 24, 25.
All right, well then, number 4, I'm going to go with Will Levis, the banana-eating machine. I'd rather go Richardson here, but I just think that Richardson's going to see more of a draft fall than anybody's expecting, or maybe people aren't expecting him to go this high. So I'm going to go with Levis, mayo in my coffee, the eating a banana peel dude, and the deathly afraid of milk guy at 4.
Ugh. Well, this is a big relief, I think, to us because there's just this feeling we have that we're going to draft him. I've even tried to talk myself into liking him. Landon's not having it. Honestly, this would be a big relief for you, man, for 2 reasons, right? We wouldn't take him, and then the Colts would take a pretty big risk here.
Yeah, this would be the dream for me as far as what Indy ends up doing because, like you said, I mean, I hate Levis. I hate the Colts. It's a perfect pick. Now, could he be good? And it turns out we're wrong. Sure, yes. But at the same time, just watching him play, it's not like, oh, it's kind of a toss-up. It's like, this guy, for someone who's 24, was a big-time recruit and has been in college forever, he does not have the feel or just the innate confidence to play the position at the next level.
Does he have a Tannehill feel coming out?
I think he has a Jake Locker feel coming out.
I wasn't around for Tannehill.
I mean, he's a really good guy. People like him. He's a good athlete. And I don't think he's going to be able, the way I watch tape on him, the way he plays, he's not going to be able to stay healthy.
His football IQ is not there for a guy that's that old. And then moving on to 5, Seattle. Really interesting spot because a lot of people have them linked to the defensive lineman. If Anderson is here, it's Anderson. Otherwise, I've seen that Tyree Wilson isn't a scheme fit. They're not going to go Jalen Carter. Even though Tariq Woolen was an awesome rookie and he's going to be part of the future, they go back to the cornerback room because that's the next spot at position that they can actually use. They go, it's between Witherspoon and Gonzalez, and they go with Gonzalez because he has the ideal measurables opposite Woolen to have 2 true lockdown corners.
You mentioned that they already drafted a Woolen last year. I think, big fella, corner, especially for an NFC West team, it's not like, oh, we already have a guy. It's like, I think because they have Woolen, they should want Gonzalez or Witherspoon because how formidable would that be? I think it's a reason to take one of these guys, and I think they're both really talented. I could see them thinking that they can do wonders with Jalen Carter. That probably would have been my pick here, but you see, especially with a pick later in the round, they're going to take who they think is literally pound for pound the best player in the draft, right?
I think so too, but you know, me personally, I would have taken Jalen Carter, but like you're saying, I mean, this is the former Legion of Boom, and they would surely love to reestablish that, especially in the NFC West. I mean, they still have to go against the Niners twice a year. They're not backing down at all, so I can definitely get on board, Land, with your pick. I like Gonzalez a real lot. I think him breaking top 5 is a little bit of a surprise, but not one that's too shocking.
This is our podcast. Can we do whatever we want? I'm going to trade this pick to Land. You're going to pick for the Lions. Got your team. And I like to keep you guessing, and I'll pick.
Well, you're a Falcons homer. I knew it. You miss Arthur Smith so bad.
Well, yeah. What do you think? You'll take that trade? I want to see what you think here. Okay, I guess I'm saying you. This is your second favorite team, and I want a little head and I want a little heart buff.
Completely disoriented. instant reaction without putting any of my own thoughts into that is Jalen Carter, because they've got Hutchinson on the outside. They've got James Houston, who became a really good designated pass rusher. You get the interior guy next to Aleem McNeil. It's over. But at the same time, I do wonder, looking at Dan Campbell and that team, yes, could they fix Carter's character issues? Sure. Is he the type of player they want? No. And last year, the weakness of their defense, even more than the defensive line, was the cornerback room, which they entirely overhauled. They have one guy returning. It's undrafted rookie Jerry Jacobs. They signed two starters. They add a third. If Gonzalez is off the board, so it has to be Devon Witherspoon, the hard-hitting, rock-solid, just football to a T corner out of Illinois. If
they need a corner, they need everything on defense. They'd be thrilled, right, with either guy.
Yeah. Either Gonzalez or Witherspoon are good. At this point, it's kind of splitting hairs. Like I said, Seattle takes Gonzalez because he hits their height, weight, speed measurables as that higher tier athlete. But Witherspoon is a better football player. He's more consistent. And you watch him in the run game. He's not one of these corners that half it, just limps around. He will put his nose in there. And we've seen for the past couple years, Mike Hilton with the Bengals has victimized us so much. And Witherspoon could be a bigger, better Mike Hilton. Wow. That's the kind of guy Dan Campbell loves, because you just throw on his tape, you'll see a couple run stuffs where he blows up the running back and you say, yeah, Dan Campbell and this guy are going to be hitting their heads together.
Big fella, it all works out perfectly. You get the pick for the Raiders.
Oh, woof. Gross. The Raiders.
Hey, don't say that.
I've never been a Raiders.
You do that guy, NFL guy voice so well. You always have done that really
ooh.
Well.
Raiders. Let's see. I mean, you've got cornerback, offensive line, defensive line help that the Raiders desperately need. I don't think in a million years, well, maybe they would have thought about it, about Jalen Carter being here, so I'm tempted.
I wonder with Ruggs if...
that's exactly where my head goes. Exactly where my head goes.
Especially with how bad the roster is. Like, Carter could be a home run, but he could be a massive bust. And like you said, when you were listing off all those positions, they need pretty much everything. So is this a spot where you take a 50-50 on this guy is either going to be good or he's out of the league?
Yeah, where you could take guys that have just been Boy Scouts like Anthony Richardson and Peter Skoronski that represent need and in kind of a similar ceiling. Jalen Carter is going to be a big discussion for every team after two.
He's going to,
because he could be really good. Like the Lions, like you made that really good point about Campbell. They're going to have a long discussion about him. I guarantee you that. And so will the Raiders.
Carter will be the main storyline of the draft until he gets picked, even beyond the quarterbacks, which is usually saying a lot.
Because half of these teams think he could be as good as, let's say, Jeffrey Simmons. Half of the teams probably think that. And so we know Jeffrey Simmons has single-handedly some weeks carried our whole defense. He has really kind of, or at least like opens up so much for all the front seven. So yeah, they'll have a long talk about Jalen Carter. He was not intoxicated, stayed at the scene. It's a bad judgment. He's a young person. The 9 pounds is not a good look, but he was under a lot of stress, and I think it was tough. And it wasn't 25 pounds, you know, and the tape is a little inconsistent. But all that being said, there are a lot of people that believe he is a transcendent talent.
I also like Jalen Carter. He is, I think he is a blue chip prospect, and I think he's a guy you can build a defense around if his head's on straight. I look at the Raiders, and they have Jimmy G. They're not tied to him for a very long time. They could be crazy enough to do Richardson here. I don't know, but I don't think it's their top need.
So, I think they'll think a lot, long and hard about Richardson. How good would he look in black and gold? I mean, like, come on.
I mean, and that's
the guy.
I
think they want to win this year. I think they're just going to go look at some of the guys they have. If they have another bad year, they might offload the good players that they have. I don't know. I see them kind of pushing all their chips in. I don't think they want a backup quarterback. What do you think, though, Lynn?
It's just hard to know because Jimmy G, it's a one-year guaranteed deal up to 3 years total. He's not getting paid much money at all. And we've seen Jimmy G, when he's healthy, which has been an issue, he's really solid. He's always like the 16th to the 13th best quarterback. And that's good enough to win. And when they're in a position where they suck so badly, just having that stability, even after this year, if he doesn't light the world on fire, if he's a slightly above average quarterback making $23 million, which is a bargain in the NFL now, they would keep him because they'll just keep building around him, because we've seen in the past, you can win games, you can win divisions, you can win playoff games with Jimmy G. His problem is just staying healthy.
I think McDaniel's going to tell them, don't pick him, give me 1 year. with Jimmy G. We'll take the best player available here, and we'll try to be a playoff team. That, I think they'll listen to him. I really do.
Yeah, Vegas is definitely the most open-ended of these top teams, but
yeah,
we've gone on about them long enough, big fella. Yeah, lock it in.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to do it. I can't, you know, if he's sitting here, I think he's worth the gamble. I'm going to go Jalen Carter. I think that's what they do. I also was really, really considering taking our first offensive lineman of the draft.
Yeah, because they're going to love Skoronski. They're going to like Skoronski, even if he had to play left guard. I think they would love him.
It was between him and Paris Johnson Jr. right there for me.
So I'm on the clock, 8 for the Falcons. We did this earlier and Landon picked Bijan Robinson. I just don't think he's going to go yet. And I see the temptation for them. I don't think he's going to go yet. I think that they're going to go boring. They're going to stack things. They need edge rush help. They're going to go Nolan Smith. Now, recently, we've seen these kind of smaller guys have a lot of success, whereas for a while, the tweener guys didn't. I'm not going to call him a tweener, but Micah Parsons, guys like that, sort of, I don't know, it's a really athletic, really twitchy guy. They love to add athletes. I think they'd pick Nolan Smith here. This will bring us to the Bears. They have pressure to really bring something out of this draft. If they blow this and be like, oh, we had the number one pick. We were that terrible for nothing. We traded back. So I do think there's pressure here because people aren't going to be collecting and thinking about the additional picks, except maybe that first round next year. Other than that, I think they've got to improve their team. They've shown in free agency they want to try to get better pretty immediately. There's a local guy, Peter Skoronski, I think they're going to be really high on. I know we talk about their tackles and stuff, but their offensive line is not impressive and really hasn't been for a while. I think they pick Skoronski here. I think a lot of folks think we'll have that decision to make. I don't know that he'll be here. I just think people are going to love just the kind of guy he is. This is the point in the draft where some of these teams may just start in on need. And so we may get some wild picks. This will be where we may see somebody trade up for Richardson too. But if they keep this pick again, I think they take the kid, Peter Skoronski. All right, if it flies, it dies, big fella at 10.
You got your Philadelphia Eagles. This is the pick that they acquired from New Orleans. First of two first-round picks. I think they can look defensive line here. I think they can look running back. Man, I'm really tempted to do Bijan Robinson. I don't think they need receiver help, but that'd be a spoiled riches there. They didn't really lose a whole lot in offensive line.
Yeah, but they got some Lane Johnson. I know he's played well for a long time, but
he's old.
They wouldn't be afraid to stack it. A position. They've always done that.
I think they very realistically could.
Tyree Wilson is still on the board, Nate, big fella.
Yeah, Tyree Wilson, I'm not really high on him. Yeah, there'd be a serious
But they love the trenches. In the past 13 years, they've drafted Wentz, a bunch of receivers, and a bunch of linemen on both sides in the first round. That's it. Right. So it's either they trade up for a quarterback or they take a lineman.
I think I'm going to keep the Eagles pick, and I'm going to do something that you guys are probably going to throw the book at me for. I'm going to do Bijan Robinson here. No, I think
it's not out of the question.
Adding a versatile running back
Bijan
like him.
At 10, they're in a position where they're not a normal team picking 10th and picking running back.
No.
Bijan at 10 is trying to make the offense as, like, it was great last year. They're trying to make it pretty much flawless because, I mean, they would just have everything at that point.
Because if it hit, he and Hurts could be circus. That would be
for years.
And even beyond
to come.
That, even if he, even if he isn't like Saquon Barkley rookie levels as far as like pure ability, their offensive line is so good. He's going to look amazing, even if he isn't like the smartest, best like cutting running back in the NFL. Because I mean, last year Miles Sanders ran for like 1,300 yards.
Yeah.
And Miles Sanders is just kind of whatever. Bijan behind that line. There's a reason why people are trying to push Henry to them because Henry goes there, he's going to rush for 2,000 in his sleep.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's stacking the strength of their offensive line by getting a true workhorse because him and Hurts, really strong on the interior, he can catch passes. And it's them just saying, hey, we were really close. We can afford a luxury pick and we can take what a lot of people think Bijan Robinson may be the best player in the class, period.
Well, and
think he's going to be elite, but I do think he's really good. He likes that last elite size or pop for me. But I mean, he breaks a lot of tackles. He's really good. And he would be hell on wheels, as my dad would say, in Philly.
And we know better than most what A.J. Brown can do with a stacked box, too. So I didn't want to have to say that, but
we're at pick 11. We pick here. This is why we do this. Landon, you're on the clock.
So we've crafted a really difficult scenario for me because...
Yeah, and let's talk about the three or four guys that the team will be picking from more than anything else.
So
who would be on the board in this scenario?
The main options are Broderick Jones, left tackle from Georgia, who would normally be my pick. Paris Johnson, the tackle from Ohio State. we're not certain he goes. He will still be on the board here because Vegas,
Chicago, could take him.
Chicago, and Philly could all take him because he has guard tackle versatility. Yeah. Smith and Jigba, we've been linked to. He's clearly the best receiver in the class.
Joey Porter Jr.
He, have we been linked to him, though?
No.
John has done most of the linking.
I think some people might call it stalking what Big Fella's gone up to. And then the other option is quarterback. Usually in these mocks, it's Levis falling this far, but right now, Richardson has fallen to this level, and I think, we've seen just the odds, if you follow the odds
at all.
He would
fit our history, what we like. Yeah.
If you follow the odds, Levis has skyrocketed up the boards in terms of being much more likely at the second overall pick, whether that be Houston or someone trading for him. So it seems like Richardson is that fourth guy, and he can infatuate with the physical characteristics, but I mean, you watch his tape, he throws nothing but a fastball. He doesn't know how to throw a touch. Is his pocket presence better than you think? Is he an unbelievable athlete? Yes. But if you can't throw with touch, you will never come close to sniffing league average play at quarterback. And he's on the board, and it's really tempting because we still have Tannehill, and we could sit Richardson and have him learn how to throw with touch. There's no pressure. And if the season starts to be whatever, he can come in late. And if he hits, I mean, even just beyond that, having the next Superman of the NFL, like we had Henry, where just a when we had Henry as that transcendent player, it just makes you feel better about the team because it's more than just, we're going to tune in and watch a good football team. It's we're going to watch a guy rewrite what is possible to position. And Anthony Richardson is that guy. Everything we've heard about, he's a great kid. Mm-hmm. He's gone. I mean, The Athletic had a great profile on him about just how family-oriented he was and how well he treats his brother and his community.
Oh, yeah. People rave about him in these interviews. Yeah. And what team would fall in love with him more than us, right?
Yeah.
Those kind of like family values and stuff.
And given the situation with Tannehill's contract, we swing for the fences. We get really lucky. Anthony Richardson and Two-Tone Blue.
All right. So that's the pick.
Oh, baby.
What do you think, John?
I think it's ballsy. I personally probably
it could happen.
But it totally could happen.
I always liked to the position.
No, it totally could. And honestly, this is like that pick where I'm too afraid myself to make it. But if we do it, like I go to sleep, I'm like, shit, we did it. And, you know, we wake up in the morning and it's a new era. And not obviously he's not going to start year one, I don't think. But man, it's a move.
I wonder if we don't make that pick and Richardson was on the clock, I wonder if the Texans would just
surely they
would just pick him because.
Surely
right?
They would, unless they're in on the Trey Lance trade news. That's the one thing I've heard is that with the D'Amico Ryans connection and all the Shanahan guys there, they would trade like a third rounder for Lance and they would just use all their picks this year on talent around him. I mean, if he's there, I mean, I'm sure like a Lance trade will happen after some team misses on these top four guys. But I mean, if Richard is there at 12, how can you really pass it up when you've got Davis Mills on the roster?
No, they wouldn't. So that's getting one of the many interesting things this is going to be. This is an interesting position. We're at 12 for the Houston Texans. Their second pick, of course. Get this, because Cleveland wasn't that good last year as part of the Watson trade. I think kind of the chalk is on Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yeah, that's pretty much, I want to say 80% of the time it's to he goes there because none of the other top teams need a receiver. They need a receiver. It fits a big need.
I don't think that's necessarily going to happen, but I think the way this board falls, like we were just talking about, they wouldn't have a chance at one of the four quarterbacks on the backside. I think they probably would take any of the four if they were there. And especially if they went defense first, I think I am just going to go chalk, although that's not what I would do or what I necessarily think they'll do. The way this board fell, I'm going to give them Njigba. What do y'all think?
I think it's a decent pick. And I mean, this is a team that finally moved on from Brandon Cooks, right? And they don't have a lot of receiving options.
They don't have anything. Yep. They're dogs. We watched them. They're nothing. They just need to take a really good player.
They've got Mechie, who is going to be a great story coming back next year. And he said he's feeling better than ever. And then like Nico Collins has been kind of whatever as a mid-round pick. And after that, they signed a bunch of veterans. So yeah, I mean, they need receiver talent. He's the most talented receiver. I mean, we talk about like he doesn't fit us because we're not a high volume passing team. Given their talent and how their offense is going to be, they're in a position to give him 8 to 10 targets a game and let him do what he does best.
And they could be in a position to really suck again next year. So that means they could be in the Caleb Williams hunt too. So that would be a good pick in that case.
Yeah.
Right. And they load up for next year. So that could very well be an option.
I think that might be in the back of their minds for sure in all of these early picks for the Texans. We're at pick 13. Green Bay moved up two spots as part of the Rodgers trade that since we've been on the air. Really interesting. I think they didn't have to give up a whole lot. I don't know how much Rodgers has left, but he's still Rodgers. Wasn't like multiple firsts or something. Sometimes it gets out of hand, even for these older guys. And they're not responsible for as much of that contract as you would think. So, I don't know. The Jets didn't give up the farm. I was afraid they would. Regardless, we'll see them in a couple of picks. But right now, big fella, I'm really interested. I'm glad you have this pick because they're going to pivot to Jordan Love. And they're going to try to stack things for him. They've got a pretty good young roster, I think. I do think they'll take a step back. But this is the, does Jordan Love, is he our future franchise quarterback? This is that year, right? So what kind of strategy do they have around that?
Yeah, I think, they need to get more playmakers like we've talked about for a while. And, you know, they traded away Alan Lazard to the Jets. Really, they only have Christian Watson. So they have to get more guys. And I think even though 13 is a reach, I think they're going to go with a receiver here. We talked about these receivers a little bit on our last episode, and I think we all were in agreement that Zay Flowers is probably the best out of the, you know, that top four or five. And I think that's where they go here. And again, I think it's a reach, but I think it's Green Bay and they don't want to be talked into something that they don't want. And they're not afraid to do whatever they want. So I think they take Flowers here. They can probably get something with more value. But I think this addresses a need right away. Like you're saying, it pushes the chips in the middle of the table for Jordan Love.
A team falling in love with Zay Flowers isn't going to shock me. It would shock me somebody that size would go, but they're bold. He's so fun to watch on tape. They're going to go for whatever they think is going to give Love the best shot. So, yeah, we got Zay Flowers off the board here at 13.
It's surprising to me, but the logic makes a lot of sense because, I mean, I love Kristen Watson. Dubs is kind of whatever. And they're kind of a point where they can afford to just reach because, I mean, Jordan Love, either he is or he isn't.
They would all kind of fit together, though. Yeah. I think yeah, 10 picks high, but I do. It's not shocking.
It's a reach in terms
that they're going to like their guy and go get him.
It's a reach in terms of talent and draft position, but the fit makes sense. And just looking at the rest of the board, I kind of do agree. Like Zay Flowers would probably be my choice if I went receiver. That's really what they need. So
I don't know. If I were them, I'd go Paris Johnson here. But I think it's just because Bakari's older, and I just think that's another way to help out Love as well. Speaking of that, before you pick for the Patriots, let's talk about at this point what we've done. Who are the best players available, or who surprised you that's still there that you may not actually be there on Thursday?
So the biggest name left so far has to be Tyree Wilson because there's smoke that he will go as high as two, that the Texans like him more than Will Anderson, that he is going to be in that Seahawks Lions conversation at 5 and 6 for second defensive lineman taken. And I can certainly see a scenario where that happens, but just looking at it, yes, he's toolsy, but he's an older player, pops, but he's not consistent. And the main thing that I think is going to give teams some pause that we aren't factoring in is the fact that he's missed the entire offseason process with a broken foot. Now, it's not debilitating. It's not like he's been breaking his feet his whole life. But for that's 6'5", that'd be impressive if he was. It'd be like the guy from SpongeBob. But if for a guy that's 6'5", 270, that when you watch him, his get-off is always slow. He doesn't have that great burst or agility. You want those testing numbers. Is testing the end-all be-all? No, but when you see those issues on tape, you want the numbers to either refute that and say, well, it's the scheme and he can be coached up, or confirm it's that he can't do that. And Tyree Wilson, I mean, he's an older 4-3 defensive end from the Big 12 without great sack production. The thing I think that we've missed the most on in terms of realism is that we've only had one offensive lineman taken.
Yeah.
Usually at this point, and I think in real life, there's a good chance all four of the top guys are gone as soon as the Patriots pick at 14. Because, I mean, I've talked about Broderick Jones. He's still there. Paris Johnson. There's four or five teams picking one after the other at the end of the top 10 that could all use him. And then Darnell Wright has shot up a lot, and he's projected to go around this range. So really, all the lack of offensive linemen that have gone so far and Tyree Wilson are the main things that surprise you. And then looking at the 14th pick.
All right, so yeah, Patriots. Speaking of.
Yeah, Patriots, it's pretty straightforward for me. They're luckily in a position where, since the Jets traded down, it's unlikely they'll be stuck waiting for linemen. They take Paris Johnson.
Yeah.
They need offensive tackle because Trent Brown is getting up there in age, and he's inconsistent. I mean, Isaiah Wynn has busted and he's off the team. They need youth. They need talent at the position. And Paris Johnson, I love Broderick Jones, but Paris Johnson is the guy that you build in the lab in terms of everything you want. With how well they've been coaching the offensive lineup there, you can see immediately in year one, he slots in at left tackle. He's Scarnaccia works his magic, and Paris Johnson can definitely be making the Pro Bowl as a rookie.
I think the Jets would be pretty bummed about that at 15. I think they would like Paris Johnson, but I think they'll get the better player. I think they'd pick Broderick Jones here.
Mm.
I think that's their biggest need. Injuries and everything aside, I think some people think they would take Wright just because they need a right tackle, but I don't.
They need left tackle too because you can't trust Becton, and Dwayne Brown is super old.
Broderick Jones is athletic. They like athletic guys on that line. Yeah, I think this is where you'd see those tackles come off for sure if they're even here this long. So
yeah, in real life, both these teams are ecstatic to have these guys here because neither of them will be there.
We got Johnson 14, Paris Johnson. We got Broderick Jones 15th, and then that'll bring us to the. I think they should change their name to the DC Commanders or DC Commandos, but that just sounds cooler. What about you, big fella? 16, Washington.
Ew.
Right.
I mean, they could use corner, line, tight end, although, like we've said in multiple years, you don't draft a tight end in the first round. I still stick with that. So I'm going to take my guy here. I'm going to take Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah.
I just think
it makes sense, really.
They want that hard-hitting press corner, and he will fill every bit of that mold.
This is where I think he would be start to be a good value. I think 15 or after. I like his gusto, and I think he's going to learn the position. I know Land knows he's a little grabby. He's kind of raw. I mean, I think he could have gained some weight or lost weight and played a lot of different things. I think it's hot. They're reaching for a pretty high ceiling on him. He's got a lot to learn about it, but, man, he's got lots of tools, and he's got the pedigree. So I think DC would be happy to have him here. Landon, better you than one of us, 17, the Steelers. I think this looks pretty clear to me, right?
Oh, I didn't even look.
Well, thanks to Big Fella's pick, the entire city of Pittsburgh falls to its knees in agony that they lose Joey Porter's kid.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, this feels obvious because they need corners so, so badly because they signed Patrick Peterson, who's really old, and they don't have anything else. But at the same time, there's guys who I have a higher grade on than the best corner on the board at equally valuable positions. When in doubt, I lean the trenches. I'm going to go with Darnell right here.
We still have not picked Tyree Wilson, but there have been some rumors and some national guys that think he will go to the 20s. We'll see.
And first fit with Pittsburgh, I mean, I think he's definitely an edge rusher. I don't think he's playing inside.
No.
And Pittsburgh has T.J. Watt and Highsmith, so it doesn't make sense for them. And Darnell Wright is the last of the top
tackles. Darnell Wright is going to go to the Steelers if he's here. He's just got Steeler written all over him. I know there's a few guys that seem like Steelers to me. Deontay Banks or Emmanuel Forbes, even Lucas Van Ness, Anton Harrison. These guys kind of have that Steeler MO to me, but none more than Wright.
Absolutely. And my thinking with this is we've seen at corner, you can go for a quantity over quality approach because you need so many of them. And you can get so many of them in the second and third rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Tackle.
Not anymore.
Generally, the best ones are the ones that go early. Darnell Wright is the last of the tier one guys. You want Pickett to have as much help as you can. You kick Chukwuma Okafor back to left tackle, which he played in college. Build up the offensive line, like we've seen with Philly. There's nothing wrong with always taking an offensive lineman, because if a string of good decisions hits, you have the best offensive lineman in football when no one else does, and you cakewalk to an elite offense.
So we're at pick 18 here. The Lions, I really think they would think long and hard on Kalijah Kansi. A lot of people would link them to Kincaid here or even Tyree Wilson. I do think even if they pick a corner at six, I think that defense was so bad. And I think they feel like the momentum they have on offense. I think they might actually double dip here. I think they'd love Emmanuel Forbes. And Kansi, he makes a lot of sense. They have a need there, but I think it's a little early and a little rich for them. I think they'd probably pick Tyree Wilson. And I think they probably end the waiting for him. I just think it'd be too much of an opportunity to, like we were talking about with Woolen in Seattle, is to just help both players. So the guy they picked last year and the guy they picked this year.
Yeah, I like it too. I think giving them another edge talent pair with Aiden, it just makes too much sense. And Dan the Man Campbell's defense. I thought Kansi too. That would have been another consideration for me. Mm-hmm. But I think I would have taken, you know, either Wilson or potentially even Miles Murphy, just because I like the thought of pairing up another good edge rusher with Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah.
And they were bad on defense. They're really bad. So that's what they need to do. And I bet they'll stay focused and do that. So Big Fella, at 19, we've got Tampa Bay. I think this is a team that might trade up, like if Richardson really does go that far. They would look to trade with Philly. Philly loves to have two first-round picks every year. I think after, you know, just 2 years after a Super Bowl, I think they might be aggressive. We may not see them here, but if we see Tampa Bay at 19, where do you think they go?
I think for them, they really need to improve that offensive line. I mean, I know it's kind of like, meh. I mean, they've got Baker as their quarterback, which I don't know if that, you know, is a... You know, waving the white really flag.
Like next year's quarterback class.
That's right, exactly. It's not a huge endorsement of Baker as opposed
to... Yeah, their quarterback room is Baker Mayfield, Kyle Trask, who has never started a game, and Tom Brady's like $35 million in dead cap.
Which actually is a ghost. But it's like... It's clear and it's shaped like Tom Brady, but it's in $100 bills. It's a really weird ghost.
They have a bunch of needs. I think defensive line help is a big
thing. They have so many needs. Maybe they should just take whoever falls because they have so many needs.
They could take Kancey. You know what? I was thinking Miles Murphy for the Lions pick, so I'm going to take him here just to give them an edge talent. You know, I think yeah, he's somebody need
for them for sure.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt, and especially with that division, it's getting better. I mean, it's still the NFC South, but I think it will. And
that's
continue
a pick
to
they
get
can
better.
Make with a look towards next year, because if they don't make a bold move, they're going to try to really be bad.
Oh yeah,
because they have the equity of that Super Bowl. There's job security down there. They're going to have some really interesting lineups. I mean, they picked Baker in the offseason to be the presumed starter. That's all
choice.
You need to know about how
By
much
choice.
They like Caleb Williams. That just tells you all you need to know. All right, excellent pick. So we got Miles Murphy coming off 19, 20.
Seahawks are back up again. They took Gonzalez at the fifth pick, really stacking up that secondary. Definitely want to hammer the defense again because that's the issue. And the way the board has fallen, really the only thing they need on offense is interior lineman and receiver.
It's just too rich for that, right?
And none of the receivers here, none of the interior linemen make much sense.
I don't know. Addison makes some sense there, but I don't think they have that need. I don't think they're going to go receiver.
Addison is a luxury because Metcalf and then Lockett, who is incredibly underrated.
But you see people have them take a receiver here a lot. I just don't see
If it's Smith and Jigba, sure.
Yeah, but I don't see Addison here.
But they definitely need defensive line because they signed Bobby Wagner, so that fixed the linebacking group for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the defensive line, I mean, really at this point, it's
be like Van Ness or McDonald, right?
Yeah, it's Van Ness, McDonald, or Adebare.
Could now you not go Kancey here?
No, I'm
he's not high on Kancey.
I'm not in on Kancey at all.
And Seattle likes toolsy guys. You
and
know?
Especially for Seattle, because just looking at their defensive line, like you talked about Kancey with the Bucks, that's a great fit because you've got Vita Vea covering up for his line of sight. Seattle doesn't have that guy. So Van Ness, I don't love him, but this is around the spot where you should go because there's kind of that cut in the tiers where it's like, well, you kind of have to pick the next tier guy and take the guy that's young, is productive, that hits all the physical measurables. I trust that he'll be solid because he's new to the game. He's young. He's athletic. So Van Ness is at the top of this next tier of talent. He's the best player at the most valuable position where you can justify taking him. And he doesn't inspire me at the 20th pick, but I can understand where the upside is coming from. He's young. He fits what they need. Like we talked about with the Miles Murphy pick. When in doubt, there's nothing wrong with taking a good edge rusher.
Oh, yeah, always. And you'll see a team like Seattle, especially a bonus pick here. You could see that for sure. 21, Chargers. I think if Bijan Robinson happens to be here, I personally think he will. I think this will be really tempting for them. I see wide receiver as a need for them, but I don't really understand that considering their other needs. But because Keenan Allen's coming back, right?
Well, the concern with receiver is they don't have any speed. Because Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are slow, and then Jalen Guyton is a gadget guy. So Zay Flowers is a really popular pick, but John is woke on him, which I think will be proven to be right.
Yeah.
So they
His
need
tape is too fun.
Yeah. So they need receiver because they don't have speed, and teams just cheat on them because like Mike Williams isn't threatening you vertically. Keenan Allen definitely isn't.
I think Jordan Addison is kind of the next Keenan Allen, although he's probably faster. It's a kind of a boring pick. You could see that. I don't know. If I were them, they just need to keep adding to the infrastructure, but it's not really a good year for that. And by that, I mean the bigs. I think offensive line, defensive line, I just never liked their offensive line. I don't like the way they approach it. And they are always looking for an interior defensive lineman, and they always, like, those guys never develop there.
They're always the worst run defense in the league.
Always, and they do not have a guy here that can help them. So this is a little tricky. They do need help at corner.
It goes against our principles, But would you consider a tight end? Michael Meyer?
Yeah, maybe? It does go against our parentals. I don't think so. They don't. I think teams that pick positions like that, it's sort of philosophy. I don't think the Chargers are one of them. But, you know, they do everything they can to help out old guy. And it will be tempting because Kincaid is, I don't know, if you want a guy like that, just pick a receiver. You guys know I think that. I think that they're going to be serious about their biggest needs. We might see Kincaid. But you've seen in the last 4 or 5 years, teams go up, especially in the late teens. They go up, and I don't know if this guy will be here. They'll go up and get their corner. I think Deontay Banks is on the board. I think he's going to L.A.
Yeah, with the way the receiver board is broken down, that's a really good move because J.C. Jackson was really bad his first year and tore up his knee. Asante Samuel is good, but they don't have that third guy. And when you're playing the AFC West, when Russell Wilson hopefully bounces back, Jimmy G and Davante Adams, and of course the Chiefs, who are always the team that keeps the Chargers from reaching that higher status, you need all the pass coverage you can get. You need all the corners you can get. And Banks is like a mini Gonzalez in terms of he's Gonzalez with less of a pedigree because he's got all the measurables and the speed that you want. He's just less refined.
All right, so we've made it to pick 22, the Baltimore Ravens.
You're going to make me pick the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, I did that on purpose. I know you're such a big Ravens guy.
Yeah, that's just how it works. If you get to pick for the Eagles, you have to pick for the Ravens.
Yeah, the dirtiest.
It's karma.
The dirtiest of all the birds you get.
The birds.
So their big needs, big fella, are receiver, edge, and corner. What do you think for Baltimore, as objectively as you can be? I think the longer this goes on, it's going to be a really weird lame duck Lamar season in Baltimore, maybe. Well, I think we'll probably find out next week, but that could be, I don't know, it's just going to be so awkward. I'm going to assume that he may be there another year, and they may draft with that at least assumption.
I think he will be there, or they're going to approach, unless something happens within the next 2 days, they're going to move forward with the thought that Lamar is going to be on that team at least for one more year. I'm tempted to go receiver here, but they did sign OBJ. They do have Rashad Bateman. Lane, who do they sign in free agency? I'm blanking.
They signed Aguilar.
So, where a lot of people might think they need a receiver, I really don't right now, and they definitely don't need a tight end with Mark the Man Andrews. God, it's like, this is a typical Baltimore pick where it's like, oh, well, they're going to pick an incredible player, so maybe they go Kancey, maybe they go Brian Branch.
They do need defensive back because Marcus Peters left.
I think a guy that they would really like is Forbes. I don't think they'd be afraid of his size. I mean, he's aggressive, he's a ball hawk. I don't know.
And of course, I like him, so they would take him.
Yeah, you're right, too. We like him, so those guys always wind up on the stupid Steelers or Ravens.
I mean, I can make an argument for any of those guys. I think I kind of feel like Baltimore wants to hang their hat on being Baltimore and develop their cornerback room now that Peters is gone and prove that they had some guy on the roster. So I think I'm going to go get them some serious safety help with Brian Branch, safety from Alabama, just backing up that defensive backfield.
So that'd be back-to-back years with a safety. I think one of the few teams that would do that would be the Ravens. Yeah. But
well, he's more of a nickelback.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
and he's definitely a Raven because he's not incredibly physically gifted, but he knows everything about how to play the position. He's tough. He went to Alabama, which they love, and he's one of the best tackling DBs to come out in a long time. And he plays that nickel role really well. Yeah, and that's a Raven right there, because you don't play in the secondary and not tackle unless you're Marcus Peters. Then you get a pass because you'll pick off a lot of passes.
All right, so we're at pick 23 with the Vikings. We see this all the time as Herndon Hooker location.
I was thinking
and
about
it
that.
Would be fun. Boy. It's so fun, it probably would happen. And I honestly kind of root for that for him because I think about him and Jefferson, and it just gives me all the feels. So is there any smoke to that fire, and what do you think for 23?
Well, there is definitely smoke in that Hooker is seemingly pretty much a lock to go in the first. So and they're definitely the first one of the first teams where it's not like, oh, a team trades back up and takes them, or Baltimore takes them if Lamar leaves. There is definitely smoke to that, but I mean, we were talking about the Steelers cornerback room. The Steelers cornerback room isn't the worst in the NFL because they stole Patrick Peterson from the Vikings, who do have the worst cornerback room in the NFL. Now, if they love, love, love Hooker, you take him there because it's the first round. You get off of Cousins after a year. That lets Hooker rehab. But this is a very decent team in what's going to be probably a pretty weak division, especially a weak conference, because you look at the NFC, it's a total joke. Obviously, last year they won 13 games kind of flukily. But they can definitely make the wild card next year. And to do that, they have to have some semblance of cornerback play. We've been talking about this guy a couple times, Emmanuel Forbes from Mississippi State.
Yeah. People are going to be, the focus is going to be that he's like 165 pounds, but the guy is really good. And if there's any position that you can be lean and still be good, it's at corner.
He's a true natural at the position in every way. And for someone that light, he will tackle and play the run game more than you'd expect.
At 24, I've got the Jags. Woof. I could see them feeling really good about where they're at and really want to hit holes. They lost on the offensive line, didn't gain. I think they probably have a fear that that's what could really make them take a step back. So I think they're going to find the guy that they like. They do need help on the interior offensive line. I think smart teams in this position just pick the best pass rusher available, but I don't know that they'll do that. Will McDonald's here. I think they would think long and hard about him. Don't be surprised if they surprise some people just out of feeling really good about their team. There's a lot of good, interesting. Let's kind of reset here. So the way it's fallen, we've still got Dalton Kincaid on the board, Kalijah Kansi, Michael Mayer, Jordan Addison, who would be really tempting. Now, I don't think the need for the Jaguars at receiver is
not there at all.
Is there?
Ridley,
but
is,
I think that would be, they'd like a really good guy who's basically like a veteran guy.
It just doesn't make sense for them because Kirk wowed us. Zay Jones is really.
That's
solid.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, and Ridley.
But I'm just saying he may be the best player on their board. But I think they're going to do the opposite of like what the Eagles would do in the situation. Pad a premium position. Take the best player available. I would not be surprised at all. So I'm going to make this pick. If they, and you see teams in the 20s do this, they need an interior offensive lineman. I think they go Steve Avila here, the TCU guard. I think they do like him better than Osiris Torrance. I know I do. I don't think they want a guy that just can't move. Osiris Torrance is just a mountain out there. And that works for some teams. I think they would like Avila. They like the other guys, but the guys that are center only, I don't think they want that. I don't think they want a little more flexibility.
I think that's
yeah.
A
we've
good
definitely
pick.
Seen that trend in the past, especially last year. The stereotypical example is Cole Strange to the Patriots.
Yeah,
we've seen it more and more.
They pick
teams
their guy.
Picking the late first. Like if they need an interior lineman, a guard, and they won't be picking again until the late second, they'll just reach on it because guard. Like there's definitely your misses, but guard kind of feels like if you're taking one early, unless you just go way off the wall or he has character concerns, it's like. A guard won't fail like a tackle will. I mean, they're starting Ben Barcia at left guard, which should not be happening. The way the board is falling, there's not really any obvious steal. Like, you can say Kincaid or Mayer, but
maybe
Evan
McDonald.
Ingram, yeah, Evan Ingram is really good. And you can see McDonald for sure, but, I mean, end of the day, you have Trevor Lawrence, who became a top eight quarterback down the stretch and nearly won them two playoff games. Yeah, go ahead and reach on a guard, because no one's going to go... Oh, that was such a dumb move, improving the protection of the franchise quarterback.
Right. Maybe they do something dumber than that, I hope, but that's certainly what I would do. And I think that's what Doug Peterson probably would campaign for. We're at 25, the New York Giants.
Well,
big fellow, this is you.
The bigger needs,
receiver, center, linebacker, safety. Obviously, Richie James left and went to Kansas City, so they got to replace Richie James, and you can only do that with a first-round pick.
Obviously. Well, I mean, I think this is probably one of the easiest picks to make. I mean, you have to go receiver here, and I don't care if it's a reach for them. You just need more offensive playmakers. If you made the decision to stick with Danny Dimes, you have to give him some tools. And Saquon apparently is going to hold out, and he doesn't want to play under the tag. And, you know, I get that he's, you know, all butthurt about that, and that's fine. But you have to get them some more playmakers. You have to continue the growth with Daniel Jones. So here I am literally just looking at top receivers.
I just think Addison would be obvious for them,
well,
right?
Because, and that's
he's a pro already. I mean, it just seems like it'd be a perfect fit.
It is, and part of me, my heart just wants to go Jalen Hyatt because I think he could be really fun to just be running downfield of that NFC East.
They signed Paris Campbell. He can do the Jalen Hyatt game and actually have some.
I'm just telling you what
Giants
my heart
have
is feeling.
Depth
I'm
to
just
his game.
Telling
the
you
Giants
what my
have
heart
a long feeling. Track history of taking that swing, though.
I'm not going to do it.
Surprising no one. Hot take: if you want Jalen Hyatt, that archetype, just take the better receiver and just take the better guy at that style and take Marvin Mims.
Right. I mean, I think that's our opinion, but I do think they'll take their swing. And I think there are
there are at least five teams that are all in on Hyde at this point, if they have the pick. But I don't know. Addison seems more obvious for them just because of, like, he just fits the scheme of what they and what they actually need to do. Even the guys they try to get, they're not big towering guys anymore. They're just, or even cut the top off guys. It's like, it's just guys that run good routes and are there because they scheme it up so well.
It's a bunch of guys that are in that 6 foot to 6'2" range.
Yeah, and we haven't mentioned Quentin Johnson, but I think Hyatt's in the conversation. I don't think there's any question. Big fellow, final answer for you.
I'm going Jordan Addison. I just think they need, like you were saying, a polished receiver. I am tempted with Hyatt, but I'm going to go Addison. Well, you guys, so in our text, you had me watching Jonathan Mingo, and I was watching him against Vandy, and obviously he's not an option to pick here, but part of me is like, man, I just want to take him. But I can't.
I knew you would fall in love with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it this high.
I don't know, but 41, though. He's fun. Well, he's definitely a big fellow special. Speaking of a big fellow special, Dallas at 26. I wish Jackson were here to make this pick, but he's afraid of microphones, apparently. Our friend Jackson. Cowboys have a need at running back, supposedly. You guys don't know much. I love Tony Pollard. I think they could find somebody to compliment him later. Defensive line, always a need. Corner. What do you think, big fella?
Well, it's my pick.
Y'all let me go through that whole thing?
You know, I mean, it's still a good preview.
You know, I've had a, you know, I don't know. My brain is fried. It's hard for me to count.
I mean, we're at pick 27 here.
Well, the prevailing thought in pretty much all the mocks is it's a tight end of some variety, which makes a lot of sense. Schultz left. They've got a bunch of guys that were late round picks or undrafted guys that looked fun as the second and third guy, but they're not the main targets. Kincaid is still on the board, but I think this is actually realistic because this is a tight end that's a receiver only. And has, like Tyree Wilson, missing the entire offseason process with injury, which especially is worrying to me because as receiver, just the back, just if there's anything degenerative or weak in that area, especially at tight end where even though he plays off a lot, he's really just a glorified big receiver, you're still playing inline, you're still blocking. That's putting pressure on your back. So even though Kincaid is here and people will love the fit because he's such a great receiver, the Cowboys have a track record of taking the big names from the big schools. That guy at tight end, even though he's not my tight end one, the style of tight end they need, Michael Mayer from Notre Dame, because he's a noticeably better blocker than Kincaid. He's a more developed receiver than Darnell Washington. Whatever the tight end award, he won the Mackey Award in college. He went to Notre Dame. He's their all-time record holder for tight ends.
Which is saying something.
Yeah, which is saying something given their track record. And he's a two-time All-American. He checks every box they look for. The pedigree, the production, the school.
Yeah, I watched their games, and he's a stiff Jason Witten. He really is. So he fits what they're looking for. That is still always going to be what they're looking for, is a Jason Witten type, a balanced guy, big fella. Because I think most fans, if the board falls here, they're going to think it's going to be obvious that it's Kincaid because Dallas likes to make a splash. But I think you got to block at that position in Dallas. I like your point, Lynn.
Yeah, even Schultz, who wasn't a dominating blocker, he was still a very, very solid blocker. I don't love going tight end here, especially Mayer, who I think is kind of hit his ceiling. But you look at their roster and you just consider the window they're in. Tight end is clearly their biggest need. And in the second round, the five or six top tight ends could all be gone. And at that point, they're kind of screwed. So this is a case where I will love one of the more valuable positions. I mean, this is a team that is trying to contend now, because if they could just beat the damn 49ers, who knows how good they could be.
It's true.
I think it makes sense. And I think, honestly, the Cowboys would love to be in that position where they could literally just do a scratch off with either tight end. I think that helps, especially when you have the receiving core they do with CeeDee Lamb, Cooks, and Gallup. I mean, you can take a gamble and take a tight end right here. It's not a problem.
That brings us to pick 27, Buffalo. Buffalo, if the board falls this way, Will McDonald and Kalijah Kansi would be really, really tempting for them. Anadike Uzomah, the Kansas State edge rusher, is a really good player. I do think they know they need more pass rush help. They know what it's going to take. I think if they had a corner they could take, they might go there too. But they're in that window, and they know they've seen teams that go over the edge, that kind of go over the hump and make a Super Bowl. Pass rush gets them there a lot in those big games. I would go Will McDonald. I bet they feel pretty good about Von Miller coming back and giving them a good year.
So everything I've read says there's nothing worrying about his recovery process.
He's a good athlete and everything he is. I think that could happen, even at his age. I bet they don't don't care that Kancey is 6'1", 280. I bet they love Kancey. So he's the pick for me here. Of course, the defensive lineman for Pitt. I think this would be probably anything after 25 would be appropriate for him because he is going to be a good NFL player. He's going to have to be in a right scheme.
This would be a good range of where I would go. I would actually take him second round just because, yeah, he's really productive and he's such an explosive, quick pass rusher, but it's more than that. He's small. He is like outlier bottom of the barrel small. He's short, he's light, he's got short arms, and just as a football player he's really good, but at some point your heart and your mind can't just overcome the physical difference, because you can understand exactly what you want to do as a defensive tackle, how you want to leverage your hips, how you want to get by the slower guard, but when their arms are longer than yours and they can just grab your chest and you can't dislodge them because you're so light and you can't reach them back, that just really puts a cap on your ceiling. And to me, everyone wants to put him in like the teens, maybe they want to push him up there kind of. But he just kind of maxes out to me as pass rushing defensive tackle only, where if he's on the field on run plays, it's more like, hey, don't get blasted out of your hole and lose us the play. Or don't really worry about containing or holding the gap to shoot it. Because, I mean, you watch it and he tries in college, but you can, even in college, you can just see he's small. And unfortunately, that's not something you can really improve on.
Yeah, I think he gets in the right scheme and they move him around. I think he could be kind of a headache. That's the bet. I think if he were more of a prototypical size, I think we'd see him 15 picks earlier. So,
yeah, but you can see it for Buffalo because
he doesn't have to play every snap.
They're great at rotating, moving you around, developing you, and everything else. And more importantly, just the AFC is such a gauntlet this year, especially now that Rodgers is in New York. You've got the Chiefs, you've got the Bengals, maybe the Chargers, maybe the Jags,
Titans,
the Dolphins,
Titans,
the Jets, Titans. All these teams. Yeah, you hear all these great passing offenses, and you look at Tannehill and Burks and Kyle Phillips.
You mean Richardson and Burks, yeah. Lan?
Oh, yeah, Richardson and Burks, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, end of the day, even though they lost their game against the Bengals in the trenches because the Bengals ran all over them, end of the day, you want to win the AFC, which has become as stacked of a conference as I can remember, probably going back to when the NFC was at the peak of its powers in the 80s and 90s, where it just feels so unfair to have such a disparity between them. You win with pass rush, so even if he's a poor run defender, that's okay. Because at the end of the day, you want to beat Mahomes and Herbert and Tua and Rodgers and all these guys. You got to beat him with pass rush. Pass rush at the interior. Kancey can do that.
Well, we've got 4 picks left. Big fella, I believe it's on you to pick for the Bengals. Big needs, tight end, interior defensive line, defensive back.
Well, in a shocking move, I've decided to forfeit the pick because nobody deserves to go to that crap squad of a team. I don't want to have to pick for them, but let's see. You can look at potentially tight end for them, defensive line, defensive back.
That's the conventional wisdom, but
they're in a position where they don't have a glaring need at anything right now.
Yeah, they don't. I think for me,
if I didn't have a glaring need, I would get a third tackle to develop, or I'd pick anybody on the defensive line. That's what I would do.
Well, actually, let's scratch that. Right tackle is a need because Jonah Williams and torn up right knee Lyle Collins is their right tackle.
And we've seen them be really aggressive on the offensive line and put a lot of resources there, so it wouldn't be surprising. And there are options here. If they want a right tackle, DeJuan Jones is a mountain of a man. And this is that time in the draft, especially on a really good team that's not going to care about what ESPN thinks. They're going to just pick their guy. Anton Harrison would not be a bad fit for them either. What do you think, big fella?
You know, I was leaning towards Osiris Torrance, and I really want to pick him, but I think them needing to draft and develop a tackle is more important, and that's not Osiris Torrance. So I'm going to take Mr. Mountain himself, DeJuan Jones, tackle out of Ohio State.
That works. I know you like him.
And so they now have the largest tackle duo ever.
Yeah, why not?
Orlando Brown and DeJuan Jones.
Hey.
Well, Orlando Brown could teach him how to be Orlando Brown. I mean, that's not terrible logic there because they are similar. That'll bring us to 29, the New Orleans Saints, courtesy of San Francisco.
Courtesy of Denver, courtesy of Miami. This pick has gone all around the block. And this is a team where it feels like they've been paying the cost of just trying to maximize their window a couple years ago with Breeze. They keep losing guys, and yet they still stay good enough that they aren't so bad. But you look at the roster, it keeps getting worse. They don't really have the young talent. Just they're in a spot where they just need talent, period, because they signed Carr and they got the quarterback, and that'll help.
I think it's important to know that they don't have their own first-round pick because they're really aggressive to go up and pick a guy who hit last year, but they gave up first-round pick this year, which was a pretty good pick, so they could get their receiver of the future.
I would say edge rusher is the biggest immediate need with Davenport leaving.
Mm-hmm. And you got McDonald's here. You know they love toolsy guys. I think they'd probably jump at him, right?
Yeah, I'm going with Will McDonald IV from Iowa State here because not only did Davenport leave, Cameron Jordan is getting up there in age, and he's still playing really good football, but his pass rushing ability has definitely declined since his peak. I mean, they play in such a garbage division that in a garbage conference that they can definitely be pushing for the playoffs as a wild card. Will McDonald, his run defense on the outside remains to be seen since he's effectively playing a new position, but great pass rusher, great at forcing fumbles. He's older, but, I mean, they're in a position where they are just defiantly, both because of their ethos and with how just all the cap money and the dead money is structured. They literally can't just tear it all down, do the cap space. They have to keep doing all these restructurings and extensions because if they cut everyone that would save them money, they would still be in the red. So they have no choice but to remain being competitive. And at that point, you take a guy that'll help you hopefully win a playoff game or two.
So we're back to Philadelphia. They get the 30th pick. They do a really good job of having multiple picks in the first round, and they'll trade that pick or trade down. We've seen so they can have that pick next year. I think this would be a point where they'd be accepting calls in case, if you are to believe the national media, this will be prime hooker time, right? So they can get that fifth year on a quarterback. I could see them trading one way or the other out of this pick. If they don't, I think, you know, they have needs around the interior offensive line, but I don't know that they're going to like Osiris Torrance. For me, Osiris Torrance is more of a second round guy after watching tape on him. I think they are fine with taking and developing a tackle, so we might see Anton Harrison here. He makes a lot of sense for me. Somebody on the defensive line, I think Felix Anaduke Uzomah, I really like his tape. I think they would like him. I'm going to give them Anton Harrison because I think that they've got Lane Johnson's not going to live forever. I think they lost a little depth, and they're the kind of team that would just pick a guy 30th to be their third tackle.
Do you also consideration maybe is John Michael Schmitz out of Minnesota to learn from Kelsey
before? Yeah, I think they have that need, no, but I just don't think they'll do it.
They're not interested in center at all because they drafted Cam Jurgens last year in the second round as Kelsey's heir apparent, and Kelsey actually watched his tape and called him and said, hey, draft this kid to replace me.
Well,
so they've
right.
got center locked up, but in guard, like, I don't think Schmitz is really a guard. Nothing wrong with taking a tackle because they always develop a guy. And Lane Johnson, not so much the age, but he has had his injuries throughout, and as you get older, just the risk becomes worse. Like last year, he missed 3 or 4 games and their offense took a noticeable hit. I mean, he's the best right tackle in the game by far. But
well, and they got rid of their depth, you know, with Dillard.
Yeah, those guys don't live forever. When a guy has an injury history, the older you get, the worse your body gets. With their window, it's better to be safe than sorry. Like if Anton Harrison rides the bench for the first years, it'll be a disappointment. But it's like, if God forbid Lane Johnson gets hurt or Malaya gets hurt, Anton Harrison has to come in.
That's the way they
and
do
they have
it.
And they have a safe backup. It'll be, we didn't miss out on the few peak years of our window because Devontae Smith is still on a rookie contract. AJ Brown, all these guys, we have this core roster. You don't want to lose your window.
Yeah, I think that's their MO. I think they've done that historically. All right, to wrap up the first round, Kansas City, we don't have 32 picks this year because Miami shenanigans with Tom Brady and was it Sean Payton?
Tom Brady and Sean Payton.
That they took away their first round pick.
Which, if they still got Tyreek Hill, that team would have been bonkers, but
I would have been unreal, man. Wow. So Kansas City's going to wrap us up. People think this is going to be a luxury pick just because they don't have a lot of immediate needs. Big fella, with the way the board is now, what do you think for Kansas City?
It could be another receiver. I think it could be either side of the offensive defensive line. Their offensive line, they've got Juwan Taylor, Joe Thuney. They've got Creed Humphrey, who's one of the best centers in the league. Trey Smith at right guard. Lucas Niang at right tackle. They did sign Richie James, so I really want to do wide receiver.
A team like this just keeps padding. They'll go receiver or pad their defensive line, right?
Yeah, defensive line, as I look at it, doesn't seem like that big of an issue. They've got Karlaftis, they got Danny Shelton, they've got Chris Jones.
They signed a Minnehu, who I really like.
Yeah, I wasn't going to try to say his last name, so thanks.
I know we're not big on Quentin Johnson, but you look at the board.
He's here.
Kincaid is here.
But he's not the type of receiver they really need because the way their offense works, I guess his speed is good, but they don't need his size. And if you want to be there.
Too early for Josh Jones, but they would love like Zay Flowers, but I just don't think he's going
to
make it
to them. Another thing to note is Zay Flowers went way too early for them to trade up in this, but they have been linked to trading up into the teens for Flowers.
Yeah, I'm sure teams. They love Flowers, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, they're a team where...
Who doesn't love Flowers?
Landon, insert the GIF right there.
Yeah, insert that very pixelated reaction image.
Part of me is also thinking, this is a team who years ago fell in love with Dontari Poe. Maybe they could fall in love with his twin, Mazi Smith. He kind of reminds me of him. You guys are going to hate me.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to go Jalen Hyatt.
Why not?
They could use a burner. Like, why, you know, they've got
it. Nobody's going to trade in on that last pick a la Lamar Jackson because obviously Kansas City would look to add more picks or add a pick next year.
Comes who is Hooker? The team trading up?
Yeah, if somebody know that it'll happen.
Because it could be, I think it'll be Houston.
It could be Houston. I think Hooker is definitely
could be the Rams.
That pick there if somebody's going to move up.
That seems most likely. If he's a first round talent, yes. So I think Hooker would go here since this is the last pick.
But he's not. Yeah. So Jalen Hyatt's going.
And that's not very fun. Yeah. So John says Jalen Hyatt. And since this is the last pick, to make everything even, all three of us give our takes on this pick. So Nathan, big fella says Jalen Hyatt for the Chiefs. You say. Okay.
I think they have the championship MO. If they like one of these guys at receiver, I don't think it would be Quentin Johnson for reasons that you mentioned. It's just too rich for like Josh Downs, who they probably really like. You know, the Jalen Hyatt is not, why not? I mean, I like it. I'm going to go with Big Fellow there because it's kind of bold to end this up.
Well, I will not be doing that because I'm selfish. And I'm going to make the player pairing I want that I've talked about so much.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the offense, the one weakness is right tackle. There's no tackle worth drafting, but there is a guy that everyone says is a sixth tackle that I love, that they run too tight in all the time. Give him Darnell Washington.
Yeah, that is a luxury pick that you could see them taking for sure.
Mm. I mean, we've said this so much, but Kelce is their de facto receiver. They have they run Noah Gray and Jody Fortson and Blake Bell. Put Darnell Washington on the field. It's awesome.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad to watch. And, you know.
And if not Darnell Washington, I'll be self-indulgent again at receiver. I won't take Jalen Hyatt. I'll take Marvin Mims.
Mims. All right. So we're getting our guys we like in there.
There you go.
Well, that's it. That's the first round. We did it, boys. Let's talk about the players really quickly still on the board in this scenario. Biggest players, I don't think there's any shockers. Dalton Kincaid, Quentin Johnson, Osiris Torrance, guys I expect to drop. Kincaid maybe will fall in love, but I wouldn't be surprised if all three of those make it to the second round. Felix and Aduke Uzomah, I could see him being 29th, 30th, 31st, 30th. I really think he might go in the first round. We'll see. Jahmyr Gibbs, I don't see him, whatever. He's kind of a word. John Michael Schmitz, these guys, these are really, really solid players. Running back, center, I think they're waiting. Darnell Washington, except for on Landon's board. So these are some of the guys I really like the way they do it on Friday night. We'll have 24 hours for the trades to reset. Cam Smith is a really good corner. South Carolina, some people think he's going to sneak in. Brian Breezy, I think, is more of a second-round guy, the defensive lineman for Clemson, Jack Campbell. We didn't leave a lot of meat on the bone, John.
Yeah, I think we got the players right. You know, looking at what's left, I can make arguments for a couple of these guys that could have been fringe round one guys, but I think everybody here, I feel fine with them being a day two pick.
Yeah, the player pool that we've ended up taking, not that many outliers other than really actually Avila for Nathan. And really, that's about it because every other name has been either first round lock or round one, round two flip. So give or take. But just looking at it, it's really just the order that stands out to me because, I mean, I read every mock because so many sites have them there. And especially now that it's a week away, they're putting out one every day. Every writer's doing one. You watch it and you see a lot of the same trends. And it's not a bad thing because sometimes that means all the intel and it makes sense, but it's kind of boring where it's like, okay, the quarterbacks are going to go here. It's Will Anderson and Tyree Wilson and Carter go. Like the top six is quarterbacks and linemen. Then the cornerbacks go, then Bijan Robinson goes and the Titans do something and then just blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing. You just kind of know what you're seeing. With us, we shook it up a little. I mean, we had the offensive linemen all fall. We had the corners go pretty early. Jalen Carter to the Raiders, an unorthodox landing spot. Nolan Smith a bit early. John, you took Zay Flowers pretty early, which looking at the board as it fell overall, I don't have an issue with that. We had Washington stealing Joey Porter from his dad's team. We had Tyree Wilson falling to 18 when almost everyone has him going top eight or so.
I do think he'll fall, though.
I don't know, because just all the buzz about him being a potential pick at two, maybe that's just weird smokescreen, but it's like, I mean, it's happened in the past with like Jonathan Allen fell to 18, but he had shoulder arthritis, and Tyree Wilson has a broken foot, so that could be it, but that's not a degenerative condition.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I do think he falls. Then the Chargers taking Deontay Banks, they generally take a receiver, Bijan Robinson, or a tight end. Avila over Osiris Torrance at guard, definitely an outside pick.
I just do that for my tape. Osiris Torrance is going to be fine, but he's just a giant blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I watched Torrance and I came away not liking him as much. No, just the stiffness.
No, he's stiff. Yeah. I mean, he gets his job done every time.
The last couple picks of the first round is always going to be a bit different, but we were all lower on Kancey. Mm-hmm. A bit higher on DeJuan Jones just for the positional value. And then looking at the guys we had left off, we're probably the only mock out there that doesn't have Kincaid going first round.
I don't just buy it. I don't value that guy. And those guys have generally, those move tight ends have not, those first round guys have not performed well.
So in our mock, we only had two tight ends going. I picked Mayer and I picked Darnell Washington for my own pick. So one or two, since we all picked for the Chiefs. Yeah. And most mocks have probably three. They've got Kincaid, Mayer, Darnell Washington. And then sometimes, if they're feeling a little spicy, they'll throw in Musgrave. But we did not.
Less tight ends go than they predict. I think it'll be the same this year.
But Kincaid is, Zay Flowers going early, and Avila are the notes from this mock draft as far as our largest deviations, because Kincaid is pretty much top 15 on most boards. Like Daniel Jeremiah has him top 10. We don't have him in the first round, and we all have it for different reasons.
And it happens.
Yeah, for you guys, it's because he's a tight end. For me, it's the health.
Well, he doesn't block.
Yeah. And that too, and he doesn't block. I mean, he certainly...
And the tight ends that have been drafted first round have all disappointed.
He certainly could be good, and he's incredibly productive. He had 35 touchdowns in college, two of them at Utah, and he was grading in the best games. But in the day, I mean, we talk about so many times, tight end, you can take the guy who has the traits and he becomes a good player. Like all the best tight ends, none of them were a finished project or anything close to it coming out. And like all the tight ends that were expected to be good right away, they underwhelmed, because end of the day, tight ends can be a learned position, because think about all the great tight ends we've had pretty much ever. Like, outside of Kellen Winslow and Tony Gonzalez, they aren't first rounders. Right. They're second rounders, they're third rounders, they're fifth rounders, they're seventh rounders, they're undrafted. Mm-hmm. Because tight end is a position where just the ways you can succeed are so varied and the body types are so varied that it really just comes down to, does the player have the drive and does he develop and does he land in the right situation? So, and with Kincaid, could he be one of the best receiving tight ends in the NFL? Sure. But at the end of the day, to be worthy of a first-round pick at tight end, to me, especially with him going in the top 20, like so many mocks have him going, you have to be an impact blocker, because Kelce is the best receiving tight end ever. That overshadows the fact that he's a really good blocker. Kittle is an amazing blocker. He's a good receiver. So Kincaid, it would take a monumental leap for him to become good at both, and that's what you expect.
That's going to do it. Big fella, what you got?
Tighten up.
Well, I mean, we're done. We did our draft. We did the mock draft. We do it every year. We did it under 2 hours. Who's excited for Thursday, boys? It's going to be awesome.
I think a lot of years I'm like hoping that we get them all right. Honestly, this year, I'm ready for it. Like, bring it.
We got to print this thing out. We got to laminate it. And we got to get this to the NFL headquarters in New York. This is beautiful. We nailed it.
It's the script.
I don't care what Landon says about Steve Avila. I really think he could be.
I love him. I think he's
looking for real estate Friday morning in Jacksonville, Florida.
I was telling you guys yesterday, like, I'm impressed with the amount of games that he's played and the way that he does play. And I think he's a great player, and somebody's going to get him at a great value. And they're going to have a position they don't need to think about for the next 6 years.
Well, we hope you guys have a great time watching the draft. We'll be back after, give you our first round reaction, talk about day two. You know how we do it. We're all going to watch this thing together. I'm not going to go to Kansas City because of Landon's academic schedule, but we will be watching together. We're going to be really pumped. We'll try to bring something more to you later. Share this out with your favorite Titans fan or NFL fan, and you guys can tell us how dumb we are or how smart you think we are. I guess we're going to find out pretty soon. Fellas, thanks for doing this. Tighten up.
Tighten up.
Tighten up.